We're going to get into our teaching for today. We're still on the same series, The Anatomy of the Spirit Man. I'm trying to get in and get out today. We've been on this whole thing about you learning about your soul. You have to learn about your spirit man. We pray entirely. We give too much attention to our bodies. We give too much attention to our possessions, and we don't give enough attention to our spirit man. And so we've been learning about the anatomy of the spirit man. We've been learning about soul algorithms, how your mind, heart, how your soul works as a unit. Has this been helping anyone? Amen, amen, amen. So on today, the title of our teaching is going to be Soul Algorithms, but we're going to talk about soul absorption. Come on now, Papa. Get your mind right. He said, amen. My bad. I don't understand baby language. I've been out that stage a little bit too long. Now, he's okay. So we're going to talk about soul absorption on today. Soul absorption. Now, what is soul absorption? It is the absorption of information into your soul through the soul algorithm. Now, we're not talking about any information. We're talking about the absorption of the word of God into your soul to change you through this soul algorithm, meaning you are going to use the word of God to feed your mind, to change your soul or develop your soul so that you can become who he predestined you to be. Now, soul algorithms have an adversary, or let's say like this, soul absorption has an adversary, and that is intellect or brain power. Now, when I'm talking about soul algorithm, I'm talking about the absorption of information. When we talk about brain power, we're just talking about you having a great memory, a high intellect, an extensive vocabulary. You can be book smart. You can be educated. But how many of you know that that does not change your life? You can have more degrees than a thermometer and still don't have an understanding how to change your life. You can have more degrees than a thermometer and still don't understand your purpose. So we're not after information. We're not after saying, I know. We're after soul absorption. Now, soul absorption is the imbuing of godly knowledge until it has been permeated. So this is not about you knowing scripture. This is about you constantly allowing the word of God to be absorbed into your mind, through your soul, into your heart. Watch this. Until you are changed. Paul told the Galatian church in chapter 4, verse 19, he said, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. So this is not something you can do in a moment of time. This is something that happens continuously putting the word into you. Now, the goal is to become the word. The goal is to become the information that you are trying to absorb. Now, it happens all the time, especially in sports. How many of you know that LeBron James is basketball? You can't talk about basketball without talking about LeBron James. It's just like a businessman. A businessman has to become business. They have to put business in them until it becomes the way that they think, the way that they act. You take Prince. God bless his soul. He was music. The man played every instrument. He wasn't just stomping his feet in. No, the man played every instrument. He was music. Just like when you talk, it's hard for you to bring up music and talk about the greats of music without talking about Prince. And in the same way, when we talk about God, You can't talk about God without talking about Jesus. You can't, because he was the epitome of what a son of God was. So the goal is to become the Word. The Word became flesh. That is your goal. Your goal is not to know a couple scriptures. Your goal is not to say, I go to church. The goal of coming to church is and getting in the Word and reading the Word is so that you can become the Word. And a lot of times we memorize scripture and we think that we have become that. No. The soul is equivalent of a sponge versus a brick. If I dip a sponge in water and I pull it out, what is in the sponge? If I dip a sponge in some Kool-Aid, come on, y'all thirsty, and I pull the sponge out, what is the sponge full of? Now, if I dip a brick in water and pull it out, what is the brick full of? Nothing. It still has the same content, but watch this. That's why the Bible talks about the hardening of the heart. When your heart is hardened, it can't absorb anything. And it speaks to your faith. So even sitting here right now, some of us are sponges and some of us are bricks. We come, but it doesn't absorb. That's why I told you, don't be hating. Don't be hating when people start advancing and you're not. And it's going to be because you are not absorbing the Word. Now, the Father predestined us to live a certain type of life. We were designed to be like Him and to live from His world. But the only way to obtain this spiritual life is to allow the Word to be absorbed into your soul. It takes time. It takes time for this algorithm to work through you. It takes time for the Word to come into your mind and change your soul and become your life. That's not going to happen in a year. You'll see growth. But the full completion, the perfection of it, it'll take years for it to happen. But that's why I tell you, you can grow as fast as you want to grow. How many hours are you putting in with the Word in a day? Or you got your 30 minutes. What is the plan? The plan is, as my wife was saying when she was praying, is to get your destiny. You want to take your destiny. If you're tired of anything, it should be not having my destiny. Now, how are we going to do this? Through preaching and teaching. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But how can you hear unless somebody sent? Because the Word has to be preached and it has to be taught in a manner that builds your soul. Everything that comes across a pulpit does not build your soul. Everything that comes across a pulpit does not develop your soul. Everybody who says they're a preacher, a teacher, they are not developing your soul. Some people are just giving you information. They're just preaching to your emotions. And the way the soul, the mind, and the soul and the heart works is like this. I can give information to your mind, but your soul is created to hear from God. As a son of God, your soul is created to hear from your Father. As a daughter, your soul is created to hear from your Father. So I can give you information, but if the Father does not agree with it, it never permeates your soul for the purpose of change. And so you can be in church for 50 years and never change. I told you in 2014, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. I thought I was crazy, but upon looking at it, and every time I say it, people be like, whoa. Don't y'all say, whoa, all right, I'm about to say. He said, why is the church The only educational institution that in which people come to church but have no idea what they're learning how to become. They show up for what reason? They have no idea why they come to church. They don't know. They come because we don't want to go to hell. They leave excited, but there's not much change. Why is this? Because the word has to be preached and it has to be taught in a certain manner to build your soul. That's why the Bible tells us to meditate on the word. Meditate, but you got to meditate on the right thing. You can't meditate on an abuse of God and change. You can't meditate on a God in which his rules are more important than your life. You can't meditate on that. It's destructive. It destroys your faith. If you have a mindset that says, if I pray to God, he doesn't have to answer me. It destroys your faith. And so the way in which we are built, that's why the way we teach here is that God is your father, which gives him the responsibility towards you. And if you don't hear him or see him as a father, you don't see yourself as a child. And you don't think like a child. And when you go to pray, you don't pray like a child. When you go to worship, you don't worship like a child. When you go to give, you don't give like a child. When it's time to trust, you don't trust like a child. And the only thing a servant can trust their master to do is discipline them if they don't get it right. God is not your master. God is not your God. God is God, but he's your father. And it's the equivalent of my father being the president of a country. To the country, he's a president. Although he's a president, when I'm in it, he's still my father. So this is why we meditate on the word. The Bible says if you meditate on the word, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and you will bring forth fruit. So you have to meditate on the word. You have to pray the word. That's why we pray in tongues, but we pray with some understanding too. And when we pray scriptures according to what he's telling us. We're praying them. We're not necessarily praying them back to him. We're speaking to our own soul. When we pray scripture, we're praying to our own soul. We're reminding ourselves what he said, who he said we are. So we have to meditate on the word. We have to pray. We have to worship. The Bible says you have to worship in spirit and in truth. So you can't worship unless you understand truth. Or properly worship. This is why the Bible tells us to study. Because this whole thing in which we are doing, we are trying to become. We are trying to become. We are not there. We have not arrived, like Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, I wish you were already kings. I wish you were already reigning. I wish you were already rich. I wish you were, but you're not. You are still being developed. So our first scripture is going to come from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12, and we're going to do 12 through 15. I have like six scriptures, and then I'm going to sit down. And it says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Then he says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Now he's saying work out your salvation means allow your soul to be developed through the same algorithm. Allow the word to enter into your mind, change your soul, develop your soul, and change your heart. Work out. Exercise your beliefs. Exercise your faith. That's what we do when we work out. We're exercising. But we're exercising to do what? See results. Who goes to the gym and don't expect to see results? So he says, work out your salvation. Your salvation, which meaning your soul salvation. Some interpretations actually say work out your soul salvation because you are saved at the spirit level. At the spirit level, you are already in Christ. But it is that soul. It is that soul that needs to conform. And I know I say that over and over again, but you know why I say it over and over again? Because it has to be repetitive. It has to become the way that you think. You have to open the Bible with a mindset, I'm getting ready to develop my soul. I'm getting ready to feed my soul. I'm getting ready to work out my soul. When you pray, what are you doing? Say again. You're feeding your soul. You're working out your salvation. When you fast, you're working out your salvation. But he said, work out your salvation. Watch this. With fear and with trembling. Now, what does this mean? This means you have to work your salvation as if there was no other systems but the kingdom of God. It almost went there, didn't it? With this whole coronavirus thing, it almost went there. Because if an epidemic or a pandemic happened right now in which it is incurable, what are you going to do? You have to work out your salvation as if there are no hospitals. We went into Kroger's to get some salmon. They have nothing but shrimp left. They have no chicken, no nothing, just shrimp. And I'm allergic to shrimp. So if it was a real pandemic, I'm going to be fasting. But the way they attacked the grocery store, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling as if there is no food. And all you got is some bread, and you need this multiplied. That's what Jesus did. That's why I'm telling you, Jesus never worked. He never lived as if he had to live off an earthly system. His whole mindset was living off this kingdom system. Matter of fact, that was all he knew. That's why his conversation was constantly, I only do what my Father is telling me to do. But in heaven is the kingdom of heaven. And what the kingdom of God does is it depends on the kingdom of heaven for resources. And so you have to work out your salvation as if there is no other system to work on. You want a house? Well, what if you can't get any money from the bank? What if you can't get a loan? You have to work out your faith or work out your salvation as if I'm going to get this house, but it's not going to be on their system. That's what I told you. We went to buy our house, and I told my wife, I made up in my mind. We are not going to pay. What is the thing they want you to pay to buy the house? The closing costs. The closing cost was like $11,000. I don't have $11,000. I'm not paying $11,000. Y'all want me to buy this house? This is business. I want, you have a house, I want it. This is business, but I'm not going to get it through your system because I'm not paying $11,000. If I got $11,000 in the bank, it would not go towards a piece of property. Or let me say it better, let me say it like this. It was not going towards that closing cost. So we're sitting in the office and a woman tells us, what we're going to do for you is we're going to create virtual money. How does that work? I don't know. She said, we're going to cut half of the price of the basement was $48,000. She said, we're going to cut the price of the basement in half, and we're going to give you $24,000 worth of virtual money. And the next thing that came out of her mouth was this, and you can pay the closing costs with that. Okay. Not going to argue with you. But you have to work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. You have to. You cannot be dependent of this of this system, the further we go into your salvation. Verse 13, this is going to happen. He said, it is God who is at work in you. Your Father is at work in you to both will and for his good pleasure. So your Father is at work in you to work. So he's at work in you to work in you, one, his will, and two, for you to do what pleases him. So he's at work making sure that what he wants to be done in your life will be done. And it's like a parent. How many of y'all tell your kids to do something and they do it the first time? How many of you tell your kids to keep their bedroom clean and they get it the first time? No. How about the second time? How about after 20 times you telling them they do it? It's just done. You got good kids. But when it comes to raising kids, you have to work in them information. That's why all of a sudden, when we grow up and we start to deal with our kids, why is it that we start saying the same things our parents told us? God is your Father, and he's working in you his will. He's working in you his good pleasures. And so how does he work his will in you? First, he's working in you his desires. He's working in you his desires. And the reason why is because, as I say 100 times, because first off, he adopted you. Secondly, you were born again. So he has to work in you his desires, because when you came to him, you had an orphan mindset. You had an orphan mindset. So he has to work in you his desires into your orphan mind, into your orphan soul, to change your orphan heart. Then, because you were born again and you are his child, he has to work in your immature mind. Then work into your immature soul to change your immature heart. He's at work in you, but he's trying to work in you his desires. You hear people say this scripture all the time. God know my heart. Okay. He does. The Bible says it is wicked. He does know your heart. In Genesis chapter 8, he says that the heart of man is wicked from youth. He knows your heart. Then it's the scriptures that say that he will give you the desires of your heart. And we take that to mean this, that whatever my heart desires, he's going to give it to me. And that's not what that means. That means that he's going to give you the desire to want the things of the kingdom. The second thing he's trying to work in us is his nature. He's trying to work in us his nature, because by default, our impulses are always driven to be led by the flesh. So he's trying to work in us his nature. Because our nature was sinful, but now it's divine. And because our nature was sinful, so was our impulses. Meaning our impulses are things that we do suddenly without even thinking. And we talk often about the whole thing with fighting. If somebody walk up to you and they're ready to fight, you're ready to fight too. It's a natural impulse for somebody to insult you and you give it right back. That's why the Bible tells you do not exchange evil for evil. But it says to take evil, if someone give you evil, you give them good back. That has to be worked in you. It has to be worked in you. That's not something you just do all of a sudden after you get saved. And that's the mindset that a lot of Christians have, is that as soon as we get saved, what happens? Automatically, I'm changed. I've done a 180, and then when they start to fail, they get discouraged. No, this thing takes time to get worked in you. The next thing he's trying to change is our volition. Now, our volition is the faculty and power to use our will. Example, you ever watch your favorite crime show and they say that they acted on their own volition when it came to committing a crime? That means that they did it with their own will. They consented to make that happen. And he's trying to work his desires in you in the area of volition is because it is not natural for you to want to do his thing, to live this life. It is not natural for you to want to pray. That's not a natural thing. It is not natural for you to want to fast, to read the word. That is not natural. So he's working in you the desire to do spiritual things. And the last thing that he's trying to work in you as far as desire is purpose. It's purpose. Because a lot of your stagnation is because you don't know who you are. A lot of your procrastination and your stagnation is because you don't know who you are. You don't know where you're going. So if you don't have purpose, you don't have a reason to change. You don't have a reason to make a better decision until you understand your purpose. So he's trying to work in you his desires, his will. He don't want to take your will. He wants to work in you his will. So why? So for what reason? So that you can think like him. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. So if he wants you to have the mind of Christ, then at some point in your Christian walk, you have to start saying, I only do what the Father tells me to do. At some point, you have to develop an ear to hear what the Father's telling you to do and stop listening to your flesh, stop listening to people, and definitely stop listening to social media. Stop listening to the news. The news is there for ratings. They are not there to give you good information. They're there for their ratings. So they're going to blow things out of proportion. Why? To bring you back to their station. And the next thing he wants to work in you is his good pleasure. He wants to work in you his good pleasure. Which means he wants to give you some resolve, some action. It was a reason why Jesus said he would list so that you can be like your Father in heaven, or so that you can glorify your Father. He's working his good pleasures in you so that when you make a decision, it pleases him. And the number one thing he's trying to work in us is this, and it's the hardest thing. And most Christians, they try to love God instead of allowing him to work his love into them. That is the number one thing you are going to have to allow to be worked in you is his love. And I'll tell you why at the end. But you're going to have to allow his love to be worked in you. Verse 14. So now, after he said all of this, let me go back through this. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then verse 13, he says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasures. Then the next thing he said is, so do all things without grumbling and disputing. So he wants to work these things in you so that you will act a particular way. So he says, so do all things without grumbling or disputing. That's hard, ain't it? Amen? That's hard, ain't it? We complain about everything. If we ain't going out, we complain about it. If we don't do it verbally, we do it in our mind. We complain about everything, but we have no answers for anything. Then it says, so that you will prove. So that who will prove? You. When we talk about you, what are we talking about? Your soul. So that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, what? Children of God. So he's at work in you so that you can prove. Now, last week, we came from Romans chapter 12, and he talked about proving. What is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect? It is a lot of scriptures in the Bible saying that you have to prove. He's expecting you to prove. You have to prove it. So that you will prove yourselves. You will prove yourselves. So you should know the condition of your soul. You should be able to look in the word and be blameless. You should be able to look in the word and be innocent. Because why? You've been putting the word in you so much that, watch this, it became now how you think. It became now how you feel. That's why I told you last week, I love President Trump just as much as I love President Obama. You know why? Because the word has worked in me. It's worked in me. I understand. I cannot love one person more than I love another. That don't come by reading a scripture. You can have all the definitions of love and not know what love is. The goal is to become love. Jesus said that he gave us his peace. He said, my peace I give you, not the peace of the world. Now watch this. This is a good example for this. What is the peace in the world is peace without conflict. This whole coronavirus is destroying people's peace. Children of God should have peace. You should have peace if the word is worked in you. If it's not worked in you, you have no peace. You're more worried about the coronavirus getting you than you are standing on what the word of God says. When the Bible says that he took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. If it's true and it's worked in you, you believe it. If not, you're more worried about the coronavirus than you are the very power that is living in you. That's why the Bible says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all which you can ask or think, but it is according to the power that has been what? Worked in you. It is according to the power that has been worked in you. That's why I'm telling you, look, listen to good teaching. Listen to good preaching. That's why I'm telling y'all, storm the media page. Listen to Divine Generation. Listen to Lionheart. You have to build your soul. Because watch this. What if they put an alert out to say you can't have church? We was talking this morning, me and AD, and they done basically told them that they can't have any more boxing matches. They didn't shut the NBA down. They didn't shut down sports. What if it never, watch this. What if the cure is never good enough for them to start back again? What are those people going to do with their life? The people who work at them stadiums, they need answers now. They need answers. But it tells us, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God. During this pandemic, we have to stand and be what? Children of God. It should be a difference. Children of God should not be talking like the world. But you will if it's not worked in you. If it has not been absorbed into your soul, you think this is the end. You think if I get this, I don't know what's going to happen with my life. So he says, prove that you are children of God above reproach, which means when they look and see a child of God, they can't criticize that. You can't criticize power. Above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. What is light? Divine truth. So when the epidemic came, the Bible is telling us that we are supposed to stand as a light to show people, okay, we know this virus is here, but this is how you think. You got Christians, they scared to shake hands. They scared to hug. What can happen to a God? What can a virus do to a God? What can it do? Absolutely nothing. All right. James chapter 1, verse 22. Woo! Y'all reading it? Are y'all reading it? Let it sink in your soul. James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves. Yourselves, what are we talking about? Your spiritual life. Your soul. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, the difference between a doer and a hearer is the doer has the word absorbed. The difference between a doer and a hearer is the doer, the word has been absorbed. They do it. They don't just hear it, but they do it. Hearers know the intellectual content, but it is not their life. They know the intellectual content. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times you heard people say that? You know the Lord ain't your shepherd. He don't tell you what to do. He don't guide you. He don't lead you. You know he don't. But it sounds good to say it. I mean, don't stop quoting the scriptures. But be a doer. That has to be your life. It can't be something you just quote, because you're going to run into a serious situation. And that word is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. And we're going to see if you are a doer of the word or you are merely a hearer of the word. Deluding yourself or what? Deceiving yourself. That you are something that you're not. Because you are a Christian, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We won't take nothing away from that. You got filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to take nothing away from that. But you're saved, but your soul has not been developed. You have the Holy Spirit, but you don't fellowship with him. That's why the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows his job. The Holy Spirit knows his job. My job is to develop you, to develop your soul. If you spend time with me, I can do that. If you don't, I can't. In the middle of me trying to quench, in the middle of me trying to develop your soul, you stop me. The Bible says you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Because the only reason why the Holy Spirit exists is to develop your soul. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. That's powerful. Let me read that again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who, watch this, looks at a mirror, sees themselves, and then when they remove the mirror, watch this, they forgot what the color of their skin was. They put the mirror up to their face, which is the word of God, and as soon as they remove it, they forget the color of their own eyes. Ain't that what it said? It says, and immediately forgotten what kind of person they are. Can you imagine looking in the mirror and then moving it and you forgot how your hairstyle was? So in order for you to watch this, in order for you to get some recollection of your hairstyle, what do you have to do? You got to put the mirror back up. And that's what it's telling you to do with the word. You got to constantly keep the word in your face like it's a mirror. Until the day when you don't need the Bible to make the right decision. Hearers are not doers, so they immediately forget. It's easy to say the joy of the Lord is my strength until you put in a situation where you actually need joy. It's easy to say I have the love of God until you put in a situation. It's easy to say you forgive until you're put in a situation where you actually have to forgive somebody. Then that's when the Bible says, now all of a sudden, you forget what the word says, or you forget how you're supposed to look according to the mirror. When the word has not been absorbed, watch this, and you married. When you get in an argument, you forget them vows. Anybody ever been in an argument with their spouse and remember the vows? I know I didn't. That's why as a daughter and as a son, you have to look through them scriptures and see how I'm supposed to act according to the word of God as his child. Because the Bible tells the son to act a specific way, and it tells the daughter to act a specific way. And watch this. We can quote the scriptures. It's not nothing wrong, because that's how you learn. You learn by learning what? The scriptures. But it's when you get into the conflict. As a parent, it's some stuff your child will do make you forget you their parent. Children know who their parents are, but it's just something about when they get around kids, all of a sudden now they want the kid, they let the kids raise them. It's called what? Peer pressure. You know you're going to get in trouble if you do that. But what happened? They do it anyway. What is that telling you? Your voice has not been worked in their soul enough. That's why I don't mind repeating myself. I'll be talking to my kids. And you can see they want me to shut up. I'd be like, y'all want me to be quiet? They'd be like, yep. I was like, nope. You know why? Because if I shut up, your mind talking. If I shut up talking, your friend's still talking. Verse 25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Y'all learning something? So, who want to be blessed in what they do? Okay. Well, first thing you got to do is look intently. Look intently. So dive in a word with intentions for it to be absorbed into you. You ever know you haven't read the word in a while, so you just read something just to be reading it because you know you haven't read it? You just throw on a message because you know you've been neglecting your word time. You just, you know, go, you know you've been neglecting your prayer time, so you do the, you know, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You say it with aggression because you ain't been doing, you ain't done it in a while. Look intently, look with intentions of having that word absorbed in you, which means be sincere about your efforts towards the word. Then it says, abide by it. So you don't want to just read the scriptures or look intently into the scriptures. The next thing you need to do what is abide by that. Because it says, abide by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Not having become. So after looking intently into the word, the perfect law, the law of liberty, now it's a perfect law because it's complete, which means that if you obey, you become complete. It's liberty because, watch this, if you obey it, you have certain freedoms in the kingdom of God. That's why at the end it said you will be blessed. Having become not a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. And it says this man will be blessed in what he does, meaning the spirit realm responds to you. Because watch this. This is what you need to know. The spirit realm, the kingdom of God, it only responds to the character of Christ. The spirit realm only responds to the character and the life of Christ. Why do you think he's telling you to conform to his image? So that the spirit realm will respond to you. Why do you think he's telling you to imitate him? Why would he tell you to seek the kingdom and everything else will be added to you? Because the more you seek it, you become it. And that is a failure of the church, is we get so much word. We want deep revelation when the smallest things have not even been absorbed yet. You have not absorbed enough love to love others yet. You have not absorbed enough love to know without a shadow of doubt that your Heavenly Father loves you. You know how I know? Because as soon as you make a mistake. So, it says, this man will be blessed in what he does. So now, if your life is not blessed, why is that? Because the word has not absorbed. If your relationships are not blessed, it's because why? Lack of absorption. You have not became the word yet. Your family life. Who in here got a jacked up family? You know why? Because the word has not absorbed in our families. We have a totally different way of thinking. And I ain't gonna lie, I done pretty much abandoned mine. I pray from a distance. I'm just being honest with you. Because you can only control what you can control. I can control my household. I can't control them. And they, family get mad at you for having a standard. And I can't enter into relationships where I have to watch you do stupid. If I have to watch you do stupid, I don't want to be in that relationship. I don't care if you're my mother. You can be my father. You can be my children after you leave my house. If I got to sit there and watch you do stupid, nope, I won't even pick up the phone. I'll text you, hey, how everything been going? Just checking in on you. If your finances are not blessed, what's the reason? Because it has not been absorbed in you to do it the way the Bible says. So you still at odds with what should I do? When it's been absorbed in you, you just do it. You know how it works. The systems have been created for us. The systems have been created for us. You have to learn his system so you can have faith in his systems. The more you learn his systems, you will automatically obey the system. No one has to convince you. Your business. Why isn't your business blessed? Because the owner of the business does not have the word absorbed in him. I'm trying to encourage y'all, okay, to get this word in y'all. I'm seeing because your entire life, when the Bible says that your life is hid with Christ in God, if it's hid with Christ in God, then there should be some things that we should be able to manifest. But we think we can manifest it by claiming. Just claim it. I claim that house in the name of Jesus. Hold on. Wait. It don't happen like that. Me and my wife, when we first touched down in Georgia, I got 8 minutes. First touchdown in Georgia in 2010, we would just drive in the best neighborhoods and just look at houses. Every house opening, we would just go in, walk through. We'll look online, talking about what we gonna have and all that. It wasn't until 2016 that we were able to actually make that happen. But we kept doing it, creating vision. That's why how many of y'all still got your vision boards? I have so many pieces of paper in which I've just written things down and said, I'm going to have this. But it wasn't just writing it down, saying it. It was also constantly putting the word in you. And watch this. At the same time, it was about as the word challenged you, you responded. As it challenged you, you responded. You didn't just ignore it. It challenged you. You responded to it. He said, do this. How many of y'all had to give some money to somebody you didn't want to because God said it? It is tough, especially, and you know what, where he gets you at? The person ain't even saved. He told us to give some money to someone, they wasn't saved, they weren't even living the right type of lifestyle. And he told us to bless them with some money. When we bless the person with some money, the person start crying. First thing came out their mouth is, I'm glad God see. He do see, but now you need to change. This is why we meditate on the word. This is why we confess the word. This is why we study the word. Okay, this is why I'm telling you, listen to the podcast until you become the word. Find the message that touches your heart and listen to it until you become it. This listening to stuff and not paying attention, you just listen. It's cool. Just sometimes you just want to have the word playing in you. You know what I'm saying? Just playing. But sometimes, most of the times, you better sit down with a pen and a paper with intentions. Because what the scripture says, but the one who looks intently, when you go to study, when you come to church, when it is time to pray, what are your intentions? What are your intentions? It's just like the sponge and the brick. Now imagine this. I got two buckets right here, all right? Two buckets. One is filled with water and one is empty. All right? Your soul is a sponge or it's a brick. So we talked about if I dip that sponge in there and take it out, what is it full of? Water. If I dip the brick in there and pull it up, what is it full of? The same content. Nothing has changed. Okay? This is your soul. This is your heart. This is your mind. But now I said it's two buckets because your life is supposed to transfer. So if I pick that brick up, dip it in the water, and then put it in the other bucket, what goes into the other bucket? Nothing. But if I dip that sponge in there and put it in that other bucket, I got contents from this bucket going into this bucket. And that's why it is hard for us to transfer love, transfer patience, transfer peace. Because we're not absorbing enough to give away. If you lack love, go through the scriptures, find every scripture that deals with love first. First, get the scriptures that deal with how much the Father loves you. Typically, when we start off in church, we teach people how to love other people. We tell them to love other people. But that's not how it works. The first thing you got to do is dip your soul into his love. Dip your soul into his love until you have absorbed enough love to transfer it. If the Bible tells us that we are his beloved, he's constantly telling us, I want to perfect love in you. I love you so much that I gave my child. But you know what? We have not absorbed that. We have not absorbed it. When the Bible says that the peace of God will rule your heart, why isn't it ruling your heart? Because you haven't absorbed enough of that relationship yet. You say he's your father, but that's not your mind. It has not gotten into your soul. It is not your heart. What about patience? What about patience? Watch this. You don't believe he has patience with you. So you don't have patience for others. Your soul has not absorbed enough of his patience. If the Bible tells us, let patience have its perfect work. So if he said, let patience have its perfect work, what is he telling us? I'm patient with you while you grow. Just don't waste my time. I'm patient with you. I think that's going to be the biggest thing of judgment is, were you intent about this? Were you really intent on getting this in you? Or was it just something you just showed up and you really didn't care if it happened or if it didn't happen? Why would the Bible tell us he who started the work will finish? That he's the author and finisher of our faith. I started it, I'm gonna finish it. I wrote the story because I gave it an expected end. But in between the birth and the expected end is, what are you doing? Are you intently getting the word in you? Or are you playing around with it? And this don't, you know, I hope this ain't coming off as a rebuke, because it's not. I'm just trying to encourage you because I know you want. Am I right? I know you want. I know you desire, but you can't have in that condition. Just like if you were raising your child and your child wanted a shotgun. What are the requirements to get that? What if your child wants a car? What are the requirements to have that? You going out of town and they want to stay at home while you out of town. What are the requirements of that? It has to be a level of the stuff that you have put up into them has soaked in. So you want this car, but you can't keep your room clean, huh? We want so much. But what the Father has said to us or is saying to us, it hasn't absorbed. Absorb the word. Amen? Absorb the word. Don't think because you know the scripture that you are the scripture. Because you know the scripture, that does not mean you are the scripture. That's the goal of this. The goal of this is to become the word. Amen. I'm done.